Remember, before buying or selling any of the funds discussed on our show today, do your homework or work with a trained advisor to make sure the investment meets your individual circumstances and financial objectives. Also, keep in mind that the performance numbers we discuss today would not necessarily be the performance achieved by a Financial Engines client, and the mutual funds and exchange-traded funds, like other investments, have a risk of loss. You can visit www.financialengines.com for more information.
Welcome to Investing Sense, brought to you by Financial Engines. Ranked America's largest independent registered investment advisor by Investment News. Every week, we help you make sense of your investments, retirement, Social Security, and much, much more. Plus, we answer your calls and emails. And now, hosts Bob Richards and nationally recognized certified financial planner, Andy Smith.
Welcome to the show. We have a lot of great information for you today over the next hour, all designed to help you reach your retirement and your investing goals. And just before we get to it, a reminder, this show is interactive. You can call us with your questions at 888-833-8637. Email those to askandy@investingsense.com. And Andy, Memorial Day is gone. Summer's here.
Summer is here. My kids are finally out of school. Thank you, quote, mandatory 180 days of teaching, a.k.a. videos the last 2.5 days. But yeah, it's awesome. Summer's here.
So coming into summer and the dog days of summer settling in, do you think that those dog days are going to settle in with the stock market?
I don't know. I mean, you know, we might see some fireworks before July 4th. Markets are in this interesting vacuum right now. First quarter earnings are behind us. That next Fed meeting is in a few weeks from now. So we're kind of in this, you know, stasis. But, you know, really, who knows?
So what are you saying, the markets might see some volatility this summer?
Yeah. I mean, like it or not, politics are probably going to fill this vacuum, or they're likely to fill the vacuum. I mean, look, last week, Trump rolled out this detailed budget proposal, plans to cut $3.6 trillion with a T in government spending over the next 10 years. This is the news cycle that's filling in where the markets aren't right now.
And yeah, you mentioned the news cycle. As expected, almost on cue, the media immediately started raining on the parade as soon as that proposal was announced.
Yeah. Photo shoots, you know, apart and aside from the inappropriate photo shoots, I mean, Harvard School on Media Politics and Public Policy, they studied the media and Trump's first 100 days. And what they found was that Trump was the topic of 41% of all news stories, three times the amount of previous presidents. Harvard found coverage was merciless, right? And so they basically set this new standard for unfavorable press coverage of a president. So not only is there kind of a fill-in for this news vacuum, but there's some, you know, incredibly emotional reporting that's going on.
Yeah,
here.
Yeah. And along with that Harvard study, I read another one that was released by the London Press Club. And
oh, this is good.
Yeah, they found that, by the way, this is the London Press Club. It's not our opinion.
It's not us.
Journalists, on average, drink too much alcohol, eat too many sugary foods, and they could be, that, you know, the best way to describe it is cognitively challenged.
London Press Club, everybody.
It's the London Press Club, not, yeah.
Yeah, so look, there's this perfect storm raining down on journalism right now. You've got a president with a different approach. You've got a 24-hour news cycle. You have tight deadlines. You have low pay, you know, incredibly low pay. So these biases that are expressed, they're there. You know, mistakes are going to be made. I mean, you see this, you know, again, it's a vacuum. This is the stuff that's filling it right
and
now.
Adding to all of this, there's some comments that come about the press from one of their own. Listen to what famous journalist Bob Woodward had to say about all of this.
So many people are treating the Trump presidency as if it's a tryout, as if it's provisional. I was reading a column this morning and it said Trump half won the presidency because he did not get the popular vote. Well, that's not, you know, he's president. Odds are he's probably going to be president for a full term, 4 years, you know, maybe even more. And there's hyperventilation. There's this kind of sense of, you know, and too many people writing things, or, you know, when's the impeachment coming? How long is he going to last? Will he make it through the summer and so forth? Now, there may be stuff that comes out, but it's got to be hard evidence. And I worry for the business, and I worry for the perception of the business by people, not just Trump supporters, but people, they see those, that kind of smugness that, you know, they're talking about, you know, he was elected. The Constitution kind of says he gets, not kind of says, it says he gets a full term. I think there, you can ride both horses.
Woodward held nothing back. That was that was Bob Woodward, by the way, lead journalist on the Watergate scandal. And Andy, you've been looking at the stock market performance during a few of those political storms of the past, one of them being Watergate, the other one being Clinton's impeachment. What did you find?
Look, we're trying to wrap our head around the political risk. You look at the S&P 500 during Watergate, it was ugly. Okay, market lost about 50%. OPEC, you had the OPEC oil embargo. There was also inflation, probably in motion before Watergate. There was also a recession, probably in motion before Watergate. You know, so it's hard to tell if it was Watergate or OPEC that caused the recession. Now, flash forward to Clinton's impeachment in the late 90s. Go-go years of the internet, you had the tech boom, economy growing like crazy. The S&P 500 gained about 50% from the Lewinsky rumors to the bust of the dot-com bubble. So you can see these charts. We put them at investingsense.com. You can see the other events around these two historical periods and kind of draw your own conclusions.
So hearing you describe those two situations and where we are now, connecting all of those dots, it sounds like the takeaway is tune out the news over the next few weeks.
Yeah, when it comes to your investments, yes. You know, we're anticipating a noisy few weeks, so help the noise issue. Just mute whatever's on the TV. In the short term, politics do matter to the markets. In the long term, ultimately, economic fundamentals and corporate earnings are all that matter. Your goals are most likely aligned with the long term. You got to remember that.
Now, going back to the start of our conversation, where you mentioned Trump might be facing some implementation risk for his agenda over the summer, not a part of Trump's agenda, but it looks like the Department of Labor fiduciary rule is going to be implemented.
That's right. So this rule, it was actually an Obama-era rule, goes into partial effect on June 9th, goes into full effect on January 1st, 2018. But this rule was meant to protect retirement savers and prompt advisors to look out for the best interests of those retirement savers. We've already seen a lot of motion across the industry. We're going to have a lot more to say as this goes on. But in the meantime, I want listeners to know this. Even after this rule goes into full effect, insurance salesmen could still sell you an expensive annuity that you don't need for a fat commission. Brokers could still sell you products you do not need in your brokerage account as long as they put a note in your file explaining why it's, quote, in your best interests. So here's the solution. Work with a financial advisor who has been and continues to be a fiduciary. Financial Engines, we've been a fiduciary all along. Nothing's going to change with us, no matter what happens on June 9th or January 1st or whenever, because we will always put our clients' best interests first. This is what's important. You got to make sure that you're working with somebody whose entire business model isn't going to be upended, because now all of a sudden they got to do what they should have been doing all along.
And make sure you continue to listen here on Investing Sense. We will continue to keep you informed as we reach that first deadline of June 9th. Coming up, we have lots more time for your questions at askandy@investingsense.com or call us at 888-833-8637. And next, we have a very interesting question about collecting Social Security benefits while working. That's next here on Investing Sense, brought to you by Financial Engines.
Andy's a certified financial planner who's worked with investors for over 15 years and featured in the Wall Street Journal, Fox Business, and NBC News. That's some major street cred. If you want to put Andy's expertise to the test, email him at askandy@investingsense.com. With over 20 years of providing personalized financial advice, we serve over 140 companies on the Fortune 500. Learn more at investingsense.com. And now, back to Investing Sense with Bob Richards and nationally recognized certified financial planner, Andy Smith.
Andy, I mentioned before the break that we had a really interesting question about collecting Social Security benefits while working. And the question is that I'm almost 64 and was told by the Social Security Administration that my Social Security payment wouldn't decrease if I started working part-time. But I did the calculation, and my projected benefit went from $1,620 per month to $1,400 per month if I work while getting benefits.
Yeah.
So is that the correct calculation?
Let's not talk about the calculation right now. Let's talk about, look, there's a ton of myths on this. You can claim Social Security while you're working. It can be reduced. It doesn't matter if it's part-time work or full-time work. It just depends on when you claim Social Security and how much you're earning. So here's the deal. If you claim Social Security before you hit full retirement age, and if you are earning above a yearly earnings limit, Social Security will reduce your benefit. And it's reduced by $1 for every $2 that you earn above that limit.
So what is that limit this year?
2017 limit, $16,920.
So let me give you an example. Let's say that you're planning on an $1,100 a month Social Security benefit. Add to that, making $20,000 a year in part-time work.
All right, 33.2. Yep.
What's the result?
Well, 33,200 minus 16,920. You'd be looking at like a $1,500 reduction a year, so about $125 less per month.
And so is that money really, truly lost?
No, it's not lost, right? Because your benefit's going to increase once you reach full retirement age to account for benefits withheld due to any earlier earnings. So, look, if you're planning on working late until your late 60s or 70s, it makes sense to wait as long as you can to claim. You're still going to have your salary. You're going to get 8% more each year that you wait past full retirement age up to age 70. Just got to know your break-even age. But we've posted some information at investingsense.com about how working affects your benefits directly from Social Security. But get out to investingsense.com down at the bottom there to see how working affects your benefits.
And, of course, we are here to help, too. Send your questions to Ask Andy at investingsense.com or call us now at 888-833-8637. So, you know that email that you sent me last week about it was the CNBC Disruptor list, the
Disruptor.
Top 50 companies that are changing the way we live.
Yep.
Well, over the long holiday weekend last week, I realized how many of those companies that I'm using now. Uber, we used Pinterest to find a restaurant. I felt hipper.
You.
I thought I was pretty hip.
You're stud. So this list that Bob's talking about from CNBC, top 50 companies changing the way that we live. There's Airbnb, Uber, Pinterest, Spotify. These aren't kind of robot takeover companies, right? Like everybody's scared about. Over the past 60 years, automation has eliminated only one occupation entirely, and it's elevator operator. You know, driverless cars and Uber and Pinterest, Spotify, all these different things. Few jobs can actually be entirely automated. This isn't going to be the end of human labor. You know, if a job is only partially automated, employment may actually increase. You're just working alongside a machine, but this is that disruptor list.
So when it comes to the disruptor list, what are the investing opportunities there? You know, as tech continues to reinvent companies, what should we change about our investing strategies and the companies we need to invest in?
Yeah, maybe nothing, right? I mean, there's some estimates out there that like 40% of the S&P 500 is going to be replaced in 10 years. No index is 100% static. Companies are moving in and out all the time. So we're talking about this disruptor list. You don't need to pick winners and losers. It's almost impossible. An easy way, a convenient way to get exposure to these companies is through the S&P 500, is through large company stock funds. You just look at the holdings and you look at the exposure of the portfolios to some of these disruptors. Could some of these disruptors take their place of what's in the S&P 500 now? Yeah, it's possible. But if you want to see what's in the S&P 500 now, we have a chart, investingsense.com. You can see some of the top holdings in the S&P 500. We've highlighted some of the biggest disruptors here. This isn't a pick and choose sort of thing, but it's just something to be aware of here as we move forward.
In that list that Andy talked about of some of the biggest disruptors, we have that for you at investingsense.com. And some of those companies on the list, Uber, Airbnb, they could also actually play a big role in giving retirees more flexibility with working. And now we have Dr. Jeffrey Sanzenbacher joining us to talk about some of those trends associated with working longer as we age. Jeffrey is a research economist at the Center for Retirement Research at Boston College. He holds a PhD and a master's in economics, and he was recently published in the Wall Street Journal. So, Jeffrey, welcome to Investing Sense. I'd like to start our conversation with an interesting observation that comes from your study, and that is that a late career job switch could actually be a good thing. Why is that?
Yeah, if you think about someone who is late in their career and maybe they feel like their job is too tough physically, or it's a stressful job and they're not sure they can do it that much longer, but they know that they're not quite ready financially to retire. Switching jobs can be a way to get to a place where the characteristics of the job are better and are more sustainable, and where therefore they can meet their financial goals through working longer. And so what we found basically was that the most common characteristics that new jobs shared relative to old jobs was that they were just less stressful. That seemed to be the most common reason people were switching, was to kind of downshift out of a stressful job to a less stressful job.
So, Jeff, are there any other benefits to working longer?
Well, I think there are. There are also the cognitive benefits of it. I think there's, kind of on the frontier of research right now, there is evidence that working longer, can keep you in better physical shape. But more importantly, I think keeps you sharper, especially if you're doing a job that kind of, challenges what you already know. So if you're doing a job that requires you to learn new things every day to really expand on your knowledge, those kinds of jobs, I think, can actually keep you kind of more cognitively in shape.
We're talking with Dr. Jeffrey Sanzenbacher, who is a research economist at the Center for Retirement Research at Boston College. And we're talking about trends associated with working longer. Jeff, I'd love to talk about this thing called the gig economy and the jobs there. And those are jobs like Uber, driving for Uber, driving for Lyft, maybe setting up an Airbnb room in your house, or walking dogs like Wag is one of those services.
You've talked often about that. Jeff, Bob, his daughter does this. He's just fascinated by this thing. So I can almost see the gears kind of turning in his eyes. If he didn't have to be here so often, I can only imagine
Jeff,
he'd be doing right now.
I'm in my mid-50s, and as I look at these opportunities in the gig economy, they're pretty attractive. So what advice would you have with two older workers who may be looking at switching jobs and generating an income, looking at like driving for Uber or walking dogs for Wag?
Yeah, so I think a worker thinking about that needs to, consider what exactly they need kind of between now when they plan to retire and stop working in full to retire successfully. So if you think you have enough saved up for retirement, because these gig economy jobs typically aren't going to have a employer-sponsored retirement plan. So if you're going to go to that kind of job, you're probably going to start saving a little bit less. But if you think what you really need to retire securely is just something that can bridge the gap in terms of earnings between where you are now and when you might want to claim Social Security, then I think a job like that could be really, really good for you. It's going to be low stress. You're going to be able to keep doing it, keep earning money without necessarily feeling like you just can't get up in the morning and go to work, and so you're just going to quit. And so in that way, those jobs kind of have this nice, flexible structure that people enjoy and so they can keep doing.
So, Jeff, you've presented some pretty interesting points in our conversation today. What would you like to leave our audience with as we wrap up, as they look at making that shift either to a retirement job, and I'm using air quotes as I'm saying that, or retiring in general?
Yeah, I mean, I think the important thing to keep in mind is that retirement is getting longer and longer. It's a great thing that we're all living longer, but that also means we're going to be retired potentially a lot longer. And on top of that, all of us now have 401ks and IRAs that we've got to decide how to spend and to keep a positive balance in those accounts. So working longer and keeping earnings longer is an increasingly important thing for people to do. And I think it's important for people to remember that they can always stop the job they're doing and start doing something that maybe is a little bit easier, a little more sustainable, but does at least keep that stream of income coming in. And so I think it's just to remember that, life is long and working longer can make it better. And we're now kind of having more and more jobs that I think facilitate that. And so I think that's what I would leave people with.
Jeff, we appreciate your time today.
Great stuff, man. Thanks for taking some time here.
Thanks for being on Investing Sense with us.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you both for having me. I enjoyed it.
That was Dr. Jeffrey Sanzenbacher from the Center for Retirement Research at Boston College.
Now, I will say this. So if you do work longer, you got to figure out some different things. You got to figure out how that's going to affect your Social Security benefit. You got to figure out how it could affect your 401k, how it could affect your health insurance. Unfortunately, just like Pat Geary and Michael Corleone, a lot of this stuff is super connected.
Nice Godfather.
You like
reference.
That? Good.
So, and we're here to help too. AskAndy@InvestingSense.com is our email address, 888-833-8637, our phone number. Well, coming up next on the show, Pat is waiting on the line, and she has a question about her retirement plan and how her pension fits into that. And, Andy, it's interesting because it also ties into a brewing pension crisis that could affect millions of people either in retirement or heading into retirement. And we'll update you on that situation next here on Investing Sense, brought to you by Financial Engines.
Get Andy's take on your financial situation. Email askandy@investingsense.com. You can ask him about anything, your IRA, retirement income, or even your current financial advisor. Financial Engines provides advice for over 9 million retirement accounts. Learn why we've earned this trust at investingsense.com. And now, back to Investing Sense with Bob Richards and nationally recognized certified financial planner, Andy Smith.
We would love to help you with your retirement and your investing questions at askandy@investingsense.com. Or like Pat, who's waiting on the line now. Pat has called us at 888-833-8637. And she's calling from Austintown, Ohio. Pat, how can we help you today?
Hey, I want to thank you guys for taking my call. I'm planning on retiring in August. I'll be 63. And my plan is to roll over my 401k, but I also wanted to take my pension in a lump sum. And I wondered if that would be a mistake or if it would be taxed. I thought I read something that there's a 20% tax if you roll over a lump sum pension.
No.
So I wanted to give some advice.
Yeah, great, great question. Look, here's the deal with that 20%. It's mandatory withholding from the employer. So there's a mandatory income tax withholding of 20% that would apply to most taxable distributions if you wanted to directly receive the money as a lump sum from your employer, just like right to you. All right. But if you take that money and move it or roll it directly to an IRA rollover, there's not going to be that mandatory income tax withholding of 20%.
Andy, with some of the issues coming up with pensions,
yeah.
Which is better for Pat? Is it lump sum? I mean, that's what she's considering versus the monthly payments for the rest of your life.
I really like the idea that you're going down this road. There are a number of issues that we're seeing with pensions. They're underfunded. They're unfunded. When you take the lump sum distribution, you're getting access to those dollars. If something happens to you, the money goes to your heirs as they're listed as beneficiaries against the IRA. You have more control. You kind of finalize the separation with the company. So I love the fact that you're taking this lump sum distribution. Just make sure that it goes directly from account A to account B, and you should be all right.
All righty. Thank you so much for the advice.
Oh, Pat, thanks for calling. Have a good weekend.
Andy, I just mentioned the problems that pensions are having, and it reminded me about earlier in the year here on the show, we talked about the 707 pension in
New Teamsters.
York. Yeah.
Teamsters. Fund.
And you know, it's kind of symbolic, but not in a good way. It was the first big fund to run out of money. And I remember you mentioning one pensioner who had $48,000 in annual benefits cut in half.
Yes. So not a good letter to get in the mail. I spent a lot of time in Chicago. Good morning, Sean and Hannah, by the way. So I worry about what's going on there with big pension funds. Illinois has one of the biggest pension fund problems that we're seeing right now. So you take the Municipal Employees Annuity Benefit Fund of Chicago. It's estimated that 80% of its obligations cannot be paid. This thing's on pace to run out of money in like 4 years.
So people who are listening who are getting anxiety now, those who are either on pensions or heading into pensions when they retire, what can they do?
So there's a couple of things. Number one, you can ask for a Form 5500 from the pension plan. This has a section that talks about funding. You want to see a funding ratio of 80% or greater. This isn't a catch-all. You know, pension administrators can massage future liabilities. So what you want to do is look at actual cash flows of the pension fund itself. So if you figure these things out now, you got options. if you wait until day one of retirement to start digging into all of this, it's going to be too late. So you got to know your options now for lump sum rollover versus a monthly pension check.
So our conversation about the current state of some pension plans brings us to this week's portfolio review. And we've been doing these portfolio reviews on the show now for a couple of months. And thanks to all the folks who have sent theirs. And if you would like to have Andy go through your portfolio review, he takes a look at the funds, asset allocation, the investments. Well, send that to askandy@investingsense.com. Put portfolio review in the subject line. Andy's only able to give highlights here on the show. So make sure you speak with a financial advisor before taking action on anything discussed here on the air. So, Andy, our review this week comes from Holly, and she writes, I'm 53. My husband is 52. We're both maxing out our 401k contributions each year, and we also have several funds from previous employers. Between these accounts, we currently have over $200,000. Also, we're hoping to have my husband's pension from the electrical union. We both would like to retire in 10 years. Do you see this being viable?
Well, first, thank you for the email, Holly. It's awesome. You are amazing that you are maxing out your 401k. I wish more people would do this. More people would shoot for this.
You got a big smile on your face.
I do. It's not uncommon, so I'm not some, you know, grump all the time. Thanks. But, no, this is great. You know, we always tell people there's no magic bullet in investing. You got to save as much as you can for as long as you can. So if you're doing this, well done. So let's actually kind of go through some of the assumptions that we talked about. So suppose that you and your husband contribute just $36,000 per year to the 401ks, all right, so $18,000. We're not going to even talk about the $6,000 in additional catch-up contributions that are available to you. So let's just say that you, you make $18,000 in contributions, the accounts grow at 5% for the next 10 years. That's going to get you to about $790,000. Again, that's not even adjusting for that $6,000 catch up. So it could be more on top of that. So you're still going to be a few years away from full retirement age and Social Security benefit with this $790,000.
So in Holly's case, she asked about the pension as a part of this plan. And we just talked about the health of different pensions. How does this all factor into their goal of retiring in 10 years?
The pension is going to be key to this whole thing. Your husband could annuitize and receive the monthly benefit, or on the other hand, he could take a lump sum rollover from the pension. There's pros and cons for both. Some people just zero in on that monthly benefit, right? And they don't feel comfortable managing the money on their own. They don't have anybody to help manage the money on their own. And they know that the way that they're hardwired, they just got to have that mailbox money, all right? But there's some drawbacks to that. You lose control of the assets. You lose the ability to leave your money to your heirs. So once you die, if you get it set up correctly, your spouse could receive a pension as well. But then once both spouses are gone, that's it. Money goes back to the pension plan. A lot of people don't feel comfortable giving money back to the pension plan. Once you move those dollars over, there's that kind of final separation from the company's balance sheet obligations or the pensions. Balance sheet obligations, you have a lot more liquidity, you have a lot more flexibility. You got to know what you feel more comfortable with here going forward as you move all the way through retirement.
So hopefully hearing Andy review Holly's portfolio, you've learned something. And if you'd like Andy to review your portfolio, it's simple. Send us the details to askandy@investingsense.com and put portfolio review in the subject line. Now back to your questions. You can email those to askandy@investingsense.com. Call us at 888-833-8637. Andy, we have an email from Belkis. Andy, it's another pension-related question. And Belkis writes, I have a pension with a large pharmaceutical company. I'm 52 now, and I'm waiting until 65 to take a lump sum of $117,000. If I took the lump sum now, it would be $57,000. I currently have an IRA that I'm not funding because I'm contributing to my 401k. Now I'm questioning whether my plan of taking the $117,000 distribution at age 65 is sound. Andy, should I take the lump sum now?
Cool. Belkis, thanks for the email. In this situation, there's actually a couple of different things that you have to think about as it relates to where you're making a decision about this pension versus a lump sum. So apart and aside from future value and present value calculations, you also have to look at the company's health and your own health. So if your family often lives into its 90s, yeah, maybe go with the pension, right? You're going to beat the pension fund at its own game. You're going to be living to 101 and taking money each and every month over that time. If your family tends to die a little bit sooner, you want the money quickly. And you also want the money to be able to leave to your heirs in an IRA. You don't get that if you stick with the pension. So the lump sum is going to give a lot more flexibility. It's going to give you different access to investments between now and your, you know, the end of your plan. Okay. I also look at people's break-even amount, how long they got to live just to, you know, quote unquote, beat the pension at its own game. So because of the time value of money concerns, the future value and the present value, because of company health and personal health, you basically need a financial plan that's going to accommodate not just the pension you're entitled to, but in some situations, you got to plan for like a 40%, 50% reduction in your retirement income if you get one of these letters like the Teamsters did, like the Central States Pension did. That's the reality. But if you have options, then no matter what happens, you're going to feel a lot more comfortable because you're going to know what your retirement's going to look like. Otherwise, you're going to have to change plans in mid-retirement, and that totally stinks.
It's obvious, and actually it's a little depressing. This crisis is not going away.
No.
Pensions are so critical to so many individual retirement plans, and more plans are on their way to bankruptcy. So if a company owes you a pension, Andy is here to help you figure this out. You can send that question to AskAndy at InvestingSense.com.
Yeah, so there's the email, AskAndy at InvestingSense.com. We've also posted at InvestingSense.com a link to we have a pension versus lump sum calculator that we use at Financial Engines. It's really helpful as a tool to kind of start the process. It's not an end-all be-all, obviously, because there are so many different variables that you need to talk with a human being about. But you go through the calculator from there, then you can talk to a financial advisor to come up with a plan for your particular pension situation. But get out to investingsense.com. You can see that calculator.
So far on the show, we have covered pensions, politics. Andy's handled a portfolio review. You're going to love it. I'm going to continue with the alliteration. Coming up next, the playoffs.
Look at that.
We'll explain more next here on Investing Sense, brought to you by Financial Engines.
Want to know how your portfolio stacks up? Get Andy's take on the good, the bad, and everything in between. Just email your portfolio to Ask Andy at investingsense.com. Do you have the expertise of 30 PhDs and CFA charter holders backing your financial plan? We do. Go to InvestingSense.com to find one of our Financial Engine advisors in your area. And now, back to Investing Sense with Bob Richards and nationally recognized certified financial planner, Andy Smith.
A few moments ago, Andy mentioned the Financial Engine's Pension Lump Sum Calculator. This is a very helpful tool to start your process about whether or not it's best to choose a lump sum distribution or monthly payments. And that calculator is at investingsense.com. So, Andy, before the break, I mentioned so far in the show, we have covered pensions, politics, portfolio reviews, and now something fun, the playoffs.
You're really proud of that alliteration, aren't you?
So the NBA Finals are here, Warriors, Cavs.
Okay.
Who do you think it's going to be?
Don't care. To me, basketball is just that noise that gets in the way of baseball programming.
I know you're not into the NBA Finals, but
I know, Warriors and Cavs, right? Kinda superpowers of the NBA. It's like, you know, death match between Apple and Amazon. Who you got?
I think the Cavs are going to walk away. So I love basketball. Grew up playing basketball. And you know what's interesting, though? The NBA title is it's more than just the trophy and the ring. There's some pretty decent dough associated with winning the title. The winning team walks away with $3 million.
Crazy.
Second place is $2 million.
You know, I'm probably not going to make a lot of friends here, but it's pretty breathtaking thinking about how much these guys make considering what they do for a living. I saw something online. It was top five highest paid athletes by career earnings. Who do you think was on the list?
Oh, it's got to be Michael Jordan.
He was on the list, number one, $1.7 billion.
Yep.
You want to take a stab at any of the other three or four?
I'd say that Tiger's there, Tiger Woods.
Tiger Woods, $1.65 billion. You got Arnold Palmer, $1.35 billion.
That's surprising.
Well,
I would not have put him on the list.
Probably a lot came from the beverage royalties, right? So, Jack Nicklaus, $1.15 billion. Michael Schumacher, $1 billion. I mean, these are huge, huge dollars.
I bet LeBron's on his way to that list, too.
Probably. So you look at these dollar amounts, it's no secret, really, or it's no surprise that athletes are so often targets of fraud, especially in our industry. We've been following the story of Dallas Cowboys, Darren McFadden. He was claiming or is claiming that his former broker stole $15 million. Now he's suing Ameriprise for the same amount because he's alleging that they did not notify him on his advisor's, quote, past issues and all of these unauthorized trades on the account. We actually covered this McFadden situation when we talked to John Bunch last time. He's president of Financial Engines Advisors, about these kind of, you know, fraud issues.
I think when you kind of think about the situation, what really stands out to me is if you have a financial advisor that ever asks you to transfer money out of the company they're working for to another company for an investment, that's a big red flag. Right there, that would get my spidey sense up, and I'd want to know why we're doing this, and frankly, I'd ask to talk to their manager to understand why this is appropriate. If you ever feel like the advisor's not doing what's best for you, you need to fire the advisor, and then you need to call their boss. People are afraid to ask questions. Turn this into another situation. If you go buy a used car, one of the first questions you ask is, has this car been wrecked? And you get Carfax or whatever it might be. If you're picking a financial advisor, the first question you should ask is, have you ever had any regulatory issues or ever been under investigation? And you know what? I'd like to see form ADV or broker check. That's just good hygiene. And we do it with automobiles. We do it when we get a warranty on a house or an inspection on a house. You should do the same thing in financial services.
That was John Bunch, president of Financial Engines Advisors, with several great lessons that we can all take away from the Dallas Cowboys stars Darren McFadden's claims against his advisor. And Andy, it seems like we hear about this a lot. Why does it seem to happen so often to these young athletes?
Well, John said it, right? They're not asking questions. They're young. They're trusting. I mean, can you imagine being 25 years old and making $10 million a year?
No, not without a trusted inner circle of advisors. But, you know, there are some people who are making that kind of income that have really turned into inspiring stories. A guy named Brandon Copeland, he plays for the Detroit Lions. In an interview last week, he said that he's working part-time as an analyst for an investment advisor. So would you hire him?
I'm sorry, Detroit has a football team? I'm sorry. Copeland's what, 6'3", 250 pounds, 260 pounds? I'm assuming he's a sell-side analyst, right? Of course, people are going to buy whatever he's covering. He'd demolish you if you didn't. But, you know, we talked about this. He's got this budget, right?
Here's Brandon Copeland's budget. Brandon plays in the NFL. 60% of his income after taxes, he's investing in safe long-term investments. 30% in savings, and then he's taking only 10 to 15% to live off of. And if you take a look at the average NFL salary, it's a little over $600,000. I know that's hard for everybody listening to the show to think about achieving that kind of budget, but that's Brandon's outline. Andy, when you're sitting down and talking about budgets with your Financial Engines clients, how do you go about constructing those?
So first of all, this is the type of story. This is the role model, right? He's got his head screwed on straight. He understands what the issues are. Just an awesome story. The one thing that I might kind of point out is that safe and long-term don't always, you know, match, but you know, that may be kind of a function of the story that we have in front of us for that. But it's great timing on this budget stuff. I mean, our listeners may not know this. Many of our Financial Engines advisors are SmartVestor Pros. SmartVestor Pro is that designation given to financial advisors from Dave Ramsey. These are advisors that he feels comfortable referring to his fans. So this means that we help a lot of Dave Ramsey's fans plan for retirement. We've been talking about budgets here. So, you know, Dave has these seven baby steps. Number one, $1,000 emergency fund. You got the debt snowball all the way up to pay off the home early. You build wealth. These are the types of stories that you want to hear time and time again. Not the fraud, not the people going bankrupt, not the people going back to work because they screwed up retirement planning. This stuff should be all over the news.
Throughout the show, we've talked about all of the great information we have for you at investingsense.com. That includes the pension calculator that will help you begin to decide if a monthly payment or the lump sum distribution is right for you. We have the information there about how working can affect your Social Security benefits. And we also have the chart about the S&P 500's performance during the Watergate scandal and the Clinton impeachment scandal. It is all right there at investingsense.com. Just click on the recent shows button for this week. We invite you to join us back here next weekend. We'll be back to help you reach your retirement and your investing goals here on Investing Sense, brought to you by Financial Engines. For Andy Smith, I'm Bob Richards. Have a great weekend.
Investing Sense is brought to you by Financial Engines and is sponsored by its advisor centers throughout the United States, including your local advisor center. The Financial Engines advisor centers provide investment advisory services to their clients using research and analysis performed by its research team. Investment advice provided to each advisor center serves the needs of each individual client and may or may not include funds mentioned in today's broadcast. Listeners should not consider today's discussion as a recommendation of any fund or investment product and should carefully evaluate any investment before investing. The advisor centers do not provide tax or legal advice. Consult a tax professional or lawyer for help with tax and legal matters. Individuals who invest with their local Financial Engines Advisor Center will incur management fees but not loads, in addition to the management fees and other expenses charged by the fund companies. We have discussed no-load mutual funds and exchange-traded funds during this broadcast. The research team's recommendations may include load-waived funds that are only available through certain trading platforms. Mutual funds and exchange-traded funds, like other investments, have a risk of loss. Term insurance products, as referenced on the show, are offered through TMFS Insurance Agency, LLC, an affiliate of Financial Engines in states where licensed. TMFS Insurance Agency, LLC is under common ownership with Financial Engines. Please visit financialengines.com for additional information.